Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful time in the Lord's presence this morning. Such a sweet time. And what a wonderful reminder that there's nothing this world has to offer that we can trust in. But He is perfect in all His ways. Amen. So interesting how God has been speaking to us prophetically, this message that we should trust Him. At our leaders' meeting on Monday night, that was the same prophetic thrust that came through, is to trust the Lord. And I think the Lord is also speaking this to us because he knows what we're going through, but He also knows that we are embarking on a three-day fast as a church. And many of us are wondering, how will we get through this next 3 days? We can trust Him. And He's speaking that to us. And so, just a quick recap, if we can get the slides on, that would be fantastic. We've been speaking, and we felt that the Lord is leading us into a three-day fast that will kick off tomorrow. And more than abstaining from food, because a fast, by definition, is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. So more than abstaining from food, we know that there's a promise of a feast, and that feast is Him. He is the bread of life. We can feast on Him, and He would sustain us. He would nourish us. And so we know that although we're calling a fast, it's actually a time of feasting. But we won't be filling our bellies. We'll be filling our spirits. Yes, exciting times ahead. So the reason why we're fasting is we see it's a biblical practice. Just a quick recap from last week. Throughout Scripture, Old, New Testament, we see it's a practice that God's people did. His nation, Israel, but also the church fasted. They fasted for specific reasons. And largely, one of the areas that we see why God's people fasted, and corporately, they also fasted. So individuals fasted, nations fasted, but also corporately, there was moments where God's people fasted together. So not each one on his own. At times, there was a king that fasted because he felt the Lord speak to him. But there are many times in Scripture where you see a people coming together for a time of fast. One of the large reasons why people fast is to humble themselves. Earlier on in this year, I felt God speak a very clear word to me. And I felt the Lord said pride would be the thing that would keep us from walking in the promises that God has for us. And there was a call to humility. And we actually see that the Bible teaches us there's a way that we can humble ourselves. It's not to sing low, 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 and we try and see how low we can go. In that moment, it's expressing that we want to humble ourselves, but that in itself isn't humbling ourselves. One of the ways that we can do it, according to Scripture, is actually through fasting. We can humble ourselves. Because then we say, okay, I need food, I need sustenance, I want this, but I'm going to put all of that aside and say, I need you, God. I want to depend on you while I have nothing. And it's actually a moment where we can humble ourselves. And we see here in Psalms, the psalmist said actually quite clear, I humbled myself with fasting. So if you're looking for a scripture to confirm whether we should, there's a good one. When I wept, I humbled my soul with fasting, and it became my reproach. King Ahab, horrible king, horrible, horrible king. But somehow God got through to him. And the way that he humbled himself and repented was through fasting. And so largely why we want to do this is we want to respond to what God has been speaking and actually humble ourselves and say, God, we need you to come through in a profound way for us. We are wanting to depend on you like never before. In Acts 13, we read an interesting passage of Scripture, and we read that the church fasted. It doesn't mention for a specific reason. All it mentions is that they fasted. And while they were fasting, God said, send out people. And it's interesting here that it does seem like the early church didn't always have a reason for a fast. They just fasted as a way of lifestyle, as a way of supplementing their prayer life, saying, we want to put food aside and see God's face. Because there's something that happens when we put our physical needs aside and we say, God, we want to cry out for you. And it seems like the church here, they were on a mission. Remember, they were thinking Jesus is going to come back soon. So they felt a sense of mission. They felt a sense of mandate. Go and make disciples of all nations. You will receive the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. So they felt a sense of charge, a sense of mandate. And then they found a bit of opposition. And it seems like the way they kept themselves focused was through prayer and fasting. And while they were doing that, the Lord spoke. And in a sense, we want to do this over the next 3 days, but I'm trusting that it will cultivate something in us that we have a desire to fast more than just those 3 days. Not out of a sense of duty or responsibility, but just out of a real hunger for God. Why are we fasting? We looked at the various benefits, but the reason why we are fasting is to seek Him. To seek Him. And that's Monday's focus, is we're just going to seek and worship Him. Put our needs aside and say, God, we want You. We're going to just trust to find You. There's a scripture that says, those who diligently seek Him, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's what we want to do. We want to diligently seek the Lord. Then we're going to trust God Tuesday. We're going to humble ourselves. We actually will be humbling ourselves the whole 3 days. But we're going to make space for Him. There's a prophetic word. And all of this is through messages, sermons, prophetic words that we're actually just taking a time to say, let's respond. If we believe God spoke prophetically, if we believe God spoke through the messages, then we need to act. And that's what we want to do. We want to create space for God in our lives. The prophetic word was empty your life, make space for God. We want to humble ourselves, make space for Him. And then we want to trust God for spiritual breakthrough. There was just a prophetic word that God wants to bring breakthrough in areas of your life. Some of us know loved ones in the church, or maybe there's other loved ones that's bound by sin, bound by things. And we're going to trust God for breakthrough like never before. Some of you trusting God for healing. Let's trust God to come supernaturally in and heal to the uttermost. I think we're very safe sometimes. Can we trust God to see miracles? You know, miracles happen in this place. Why not? And we're going to trust the Lord for that, that He would come and break through supernaturally amongst us. That miracles won't just be something that we read on Google, but that we see miracles taking place amongst us. And it's like the word that came out, you know, don't just squat, sit fully, trust Him. So we're going to trust Him. Let's not be squatters. Let's be those who rest in Him and trust Him. And then Wednesday, we're going to trust that God would send us out. The harvest is white, but the laborers are few. And we're going to trust that there would come a deep conviction. Like in the book of Acts, when they prayed and they sought the Lord, the whole place was shaken and they were filled with boldness. We're going to trust God for that. So that's why we're fasting. It's maybe not very specific, but I think it's responding to what God has spoken. And we want to align ourselves with that. What are we going to do? We're going to fast for 3 days. Monday, tomorrow morning, starting at 6 o'clock. I started cutting out caffeine, had decaf coffee for the last 2 days. And I'm already, it's already that small change. It's like your body craves that. So I'm a bit in a daze. It's because the caffeine has been less than usual. And we're going to fast we're going to fast till 6 p.m. Wednesday night. So for 3 days, from Monday morning at 6 o'clock till Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to break the fast. We'll have prayer times here, 12:30 to 1:30. At 7 o'clock, there'll be prayer times. That's optional, but the venue would be open and you can come and pray with us. We're going to fast food. We look in the scripture. When they fasted, it had to do with food. Now, some of you might have challenges and you won't be able to fast food all 3 days. But we're going to speak about that now in a few moments. Because we don't expect everyone to fast, to do a full fast over 3 days. Because it's not, in biblical times, they could consecrate 3 days. That's what they did. All they did was to pray and fast and seek the Lord's face. Most of us can't do that because we need to be at work, at school. We're playing sport matches. Some of us need to take medicine. And we're going to speak about how does that look in a time of fasting. In a few moments. So it's according to your faith. No one needs to feel pressure or guilt if they're not going to only do water for 3 days. Or not, you can't do water for 3 days. You don't have to feel guilty. You can fast according to your faith. But let's make sure that it's not WhatsApp or Facebook. Anything radical like that. Games or whatever. Nothing wild like that, you know? I heard the other day, this is a comedian, he said, one day, his mom always told him, one day you're going to meet all the Bible characters in heaven. And she told him with great excitement to him. And he thought, that's horrible. What am I going to tell Noah? Hey, I built an ark for 100 years through a lot of opposition. That's great, Noah. I fasted today. And as it was so funny as he painted this picture of what the guys in biblical times did, the steps of faith that they did. And then we're just like, yo, I prayed for my brother next to me. That was, and I was so convicted by that. He said it jokingly, but let's trust God for big things. I'm not speaking about a car or a house, like big things, like that I can pray for someone that's sick and they would get healed. That I can tackle this fast and actually go for it. But according to your faith, we don't want to put any pressure, but there's got to be something, food. And it's something that we want to do together because it cultivates a sense of unity. So we want to fast the 3 days aspect of food, but as I shared now, I realize that it won't necessarily be possible for all of us to do that. So we're going to have a panel here that's going to help answer questions you might have this morning. So we're going to have a medical doctor. Where are you, Skulk? You can join us. Esther, Linky, and Jay, if you can join me up front here as well. Great. So as you heard, we're trusting the Lord to move powerfully amongst us as we put these 3 days aside to fast. But I thought it would be good just to hear what happens in our bodies as we fast. Last week I shared that we've got that little ghrelin in our bodies that is that hunger hormone that cries out for a cookie throughout the day. But from a medical point of view, what happens in our bodies, Skulk, when we fast?
Can you hear me? There we go. Good morning. Thanks, Kevin. Straight up, our bodies were designed to work on sugar, carbs. Like your son said, he's not going to be able to live without these carbs. But God's obviously got a plan B, because not everyone would have sugar all the time. So your sugar is there to sustain you for 24 hours. After 24 hours, it's blah. There's no more left. Stores it in the liver a little bit, and then you got to go into a different thing called ketosis when you break down your fat. Fat has got a lot more energy than sugar has, and that's why people do not die when they fast, because there's a lot of fat to break down. So, in most. So yeah, that's really important, but it is very uncomfortable because your body doesn't want to go there. It wants the sugar, so that's why you feel fatigued, that's why you get headaches, that's why the first 24 hours is really difficult. It forces you to reach for the sugar, sometimes too much, and then there's more fat.
Yeah. It's wonderful. It's quite amazing to think that God created our bodies, but He also created it to be able to fast, which is quite amazing. So, Yo, Skulk, we did say we want to do a 3-day fast, we want to look at abstaining from food, but it's not going to be possible for everyone in the congregation to do that to that full extent. Some might be breastfeeding, some might be children that, you know, some teenagers need a loaf of bread for breakfast. So so maybe from your point of view, who are groups of people that should be very cautious to do a full fast? And what alternatives can they look at going into this fast?
Yeah, I think if we need to look at it in a little bit of categories. I think the first thing is your almost natural situations like pregnancy. Pregnancy, breastfeeding, that's not definitely not an illness. and it's definitely not a chronic condition. But that's important that we shouldn't have those people doing a full fast. Children under the age of 12 definitely should not do a full fast. 12 to 18 under supervision, if they've done it before. Children's metabolisms are very, very different, and they do not have that reserve to go into the ketosis. And yeah, obviously, so it's. But we can talk about things like medication and chronic conditions as well a little bit later. But I think the first thing is the almost natural body stages of your life that sometimes limits you.
Excellent. So what people could do, like children or those breastfeeding is, or pregnant moms, they could look at maybe abstaining from sugar or chips, cool drink, maybe even meats, and do something like a Daniel type fast. Would that work for kids, like teenagers? Would that work for pregnant women to do something like a Daniel fast where it's more veggies and fruit?
Absolutely. You know, remember, the pregnant woman's not only making a decision for herself. They're making a decision for another living human being that absolutely needs that. And they cannot depend on that ketosis to sustain their pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then for children to abstain from treats or sweets is probably worse than a full fast for us, I think so. and just involving them, if they're a little older, maybe one meal, just to keep them, make them part of it.
Mm. Wonderful. So Esther, the reason why I asked you to join our panel is I remember when we did a fast the previous time, it was a one-day fast, and we also opened up the venue for a time of prayer. And then I think we were about 8 or 9 people at that prayer meeting. But what struck me is your boys joined for the prayer meeting. So you came with them. And that already was a blessing to me to see, oh, wow, your sons joined the prayer meeting. But then they joined us in the prayer. So they actually participated in the prayer, which struck me. And it was absolutely beautiful. They didn't just see the hour through because they were told to be there. They contributed. And I thought that was a wonderful example of one and blessed me deeply. So I think my question is, in obviously we're going to fast, we're going to include our children, we're going to do it as families. But I've got a twofold question. What did you do to cultivate that culture amongst your boys, that nature that they would actually contribute in prayer meetings, that they would pray with us? And they didn't pray weird. They didn't pray for, like, thank you for a roof over my head type of prayers. They prayed with us in the direction that we're going. So how did you cultivate that culture of prayer? And then secondly, what are you going to do as a family over the next 3 days?
Thanks, Kevin. Okay, so our prayer journey basically started from when the boys were really, really tiny. So we started in the evenings, always like reading and praying with the boys. And then a few years back, we really felt challenged by God because we would go to community and the boys would, you know, go off into another room. And we really felt like they were at an age where, you know, they really could contribute to community. So we spoke to them and we asked them, you know, we're going to change things a bit. We actually want you to come in and join community. And it was a challenge for them, because obviously it's like a shift from what they're used to. But then they actually came and they joined with persistence and consistency from our side. And now they are completely part of the comm. Actually, all the kids are a big part of the comm and they really contribute majorly. So that's great for the comm. And then about a year ago, again, we were challenged. We would come to the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning, and again, the boys wouldn't be with us. And they were at an age where they could come and they could contribute. So others could benefit from them, but they could also benefit from being a part and also praying as well, not just kind of being there, but actually contributing. And again, so we challenged them again, and they come now regularly. And it's not even kind of a thought for them. They know that they need to be here because for them and for everybody else. So I think when your children are young, you start with small Christian concepts like love and you look like big, not necessarily love, because that's all the way through, but like grace and forgiveness, like tough subjects you start with. And you teach them, even though they don't 100% understand exactly what you're teaching them. And then when they get old enough and they've heard it repeated over and over, then they do grasp what is, you know, what it is to be in God's kingdom and the, you know, the principles of God's kingdom.
That's lovely. And I love what you said about consistency, because I think many times we do it once and then it's a bit difficult and then we bail out, but it's that consistency. And I realize sometimes it's just having our kids amongst other adults praying. There's something that putting your children in God's presence, that they pick up things that I think we don't always realize, just being in God's presence. So what are you doing as a family now over the next 3 days? Are the kids going to join us with the fasting, or are they, okay, what are they going to do?
We had a very good, interesting conversation last night about the fast and about, you know, like wrestling with it, because it's not an easy thing. I think as adults we wrestle, and as kids, you know, we wrestle as a family. We came to the point of, it's not necessarily doing the minimum that we can possibly do to actually be part of the fast, to say, yes, we did it. But it's actually our heart attitude and where we're actually coming from. So are we coming from a place of going, you know, we're going to lay everything down, we're going to do our best, and we're going to try, and we're going to hope that God is going to do the rest. And, you know, if we need some food, then, you know, we'll have, you know, a piece of fruit or whatever, whatever is needed. But, yeah, I think, you know, like maybe one or two meals. But, yeah, it's more about the heart attitude than it is about the lack of food as such.
Love it. Love it. And so they will be participating, but it's going to be adjusted to make it. And I think that's the key thing, is we want our kids to journey with us, you know. So this is a big step. It's a big step for many of us that are adults. I've heard many adults that are quite anxious about the next 3 days. And we need to now learn to trust the Lord. And I think we can progressively, small bite sizes, train our children. Our oldest are going to do a vegan-style fast. We've got a vegan in the house for the next 3 days. It's weird, you know. It's like, never thought I'd have a vegan in the house. But but he's going to do a veggie and fruit fast. And then our youngest, that he was just... Yeah, he was pleading that we don't remove all these carbs. in Afrikaans, ek soek 'n koolhidraat, ek het 'n koolhidraat nodig. And so they're on board, and we're gonna cut out certain things. Thanks for sharing, Esther. Appreciate that. Your family is such a beautiful example. Really, you really are. Well done, Gavin. Now, moving on to medical reasons, because apart from just maybe physically your age or being pregnant and so forth, there are medical reasons why we also shouldn't necessarily do a clean, full fast. So just maybe from your point of view, what do people need to keep in mind in if they're taking chronic medication or they may be going through health things? What would your advice be?
Yeah, I think, again, we can put that in two categories. There are exclusions for full fast, and there are adaptations or adjusted situations. So exclusions, I think the number one thing is type 1 diabetics. The type 2 diabetic, just to give you an idea, type 1 diabetic is someone that needs insulin. They need to inject insulin. And a type 2 diabetic can either be from diet or from medication that they treat the sugar. It is a sugar issue, that, an insulin issue. So what happens is when you inject insulin, you rapidly drop your sugar. And if you don't have any food on board, it is really dangerous. So that is an absolute contraindication. Some of the diabetic medication, the most common one is metformin. You can actually fast with that, because metformin doesn't increase insulin. It just helps the sugar, extra sugar out of the blood. But there's another diabetic tablet, they're called sulfonylureas. If you take them, it will also increase your insulin, and for those ones, you have to eat something when you don't take that. Then we spoke about pregnancy and breastfeeding, contraindications. Also, certain mental conditions, like your more it's bipolar, you know, psychiatric conditions, really cannot do a full fast. Maybe if they've done it before in conjunction with their specialist, they could do that. But generally, it can cause instability. So that you need to have a bit of caution with that. Yeah, there's one other contraindication. Someone that's really, really underweight, like a BMI of less than 18 or 16. They don't have that fat reserve to actually bring the energy to the body that the brain needs. So that's going to be a contraindication. And then if you go to the chronic conditions and other medical conditions, they can fast, but there might be some adjustments to need to be made that you can speak to the doctor, you know, contact me if need be, or your comm leader. But in general, diabetes is the issue one. Blood pressure patients can fast, cholesterol patients can fast, thyroid patients, if they're controlled, can fast. Most of those conditions don't have an issue, you know, with that itself.
Wonderful. You, and obviously, we're definitely not advising people to cut or fast on their medicine.
This is a very good point. We are fasting food, people. Okay. Maybe some people think they take their food in tablet form, but we are not fasting medication. It is very important to know that. Medication is not food. So it is, if you're on a journey with the Lord to get healing from a certain condition and you want to, that's a different story, but that's not what we're calling for. We are calling for a corporate fast on food. So medication is essential. So definitely no guilt because you're taking your Eltroxin for your thyroid on Monday morning. You have to. That is very important. One thing that I maybe just missed, certain medication needs to be taken with food. Can I quickly touch on that? Okay. I think the number one is anti-inflammatories. Anti-inflammatories and cortisone-type medication. So that will burn your tummy. You cannot take that on your tummy. It will make you vomit, and it's dangerous. It's not a good thing. So you have to have maybe a banana or some yogurt or something. If you take chronic anti-inflammatories, if you'd want to take a headache tablet for the headache that you probably will get in the first bit, it's better to stick to paracetamol, because paracetamol doesn't affect the lining of the stomach. Dispirins do, and all other anti-inflammatories do. So if you take like a combination anti-inflammatory like Mibulin or Mypaid, it's got Brufen in it. Brufen's going to burn your tummy. Okay, you've got to take it with something in the lining of the tummy. That's important. Anti-inflammatories first, and then other things that need to be taken with food is to do with the absorption of the medication. For instance, patients that are on ARVs for HIV, they have to be on the ARVs. They've got to take it with some sort of a fatty meal to absorb well, and it's dangerous if you don't, because the viral load will change. So those are also patients that need to take that. Patients on supplements, you know, like iron and those sort of things, it can cause a bit of stomach discomfort if you take it without food. But yeah, you can decide if you want to take it with a little bit of something or just leave the iron for a few days.
Wonderful. I also realized that apart from maybe practical, like physical kids, pregnant moms, medical reasons, there might be people with very stressful jobs. And I realize that you got to be on peak performance. It might be like thinking surgeons. You need to be on peak performance. It's people's lives that you're dealing with. And through the whole conversation I've had with you before this and even now, it's quite clear that we can fast some form of food. You know, it's like you don't have to have the cookie. You can abstain from the chips and the chocolates, even certain meats, and have a banana or yogurt. So there's alternatives that one can look at with medicine. I'm even thinking it might be that some people, due to their work stress, do a 6 in the morning to a 6 in the evening, and they fast that time. I think the key thing for me is just that we do it together. But it does seem like it's possible for us to do it together. Some people just need to do it in an adjusted form. Linky, maybe if you can... Scott, do you want to mention something on that?
I just want to say that Francho and our comm, and also we've got a pilot in the audience as well that's been sitting right behind me this morning. There weren't any pilots or anaesthetists 2,000 years ago. So if the plane needs to land in 5 minutes and it's the end of a 3-day water-only fast for the pilot, you might think you might just maybe take something quickly before he lands the plane.
Linky. So Linky is receiving chemo treatment at the moment, and so she would probably have a good excuse not to fast. I think none of us would feel a problem if he, Linky didn't fast. She had chemo end of last week, right? Monday last week. She received a chemo treatment. And so Lizaldi went to go visit her in the week. And she said, Linky's doing a full fast this next few days. I'm like, whoa! But what struck me, and I know you've adjusted that a bit, but what struck me is your desire, even though you've got excuse, to still give yourself to it. So maybe you can just share with us, what are you doing over the next few days? Because I think you're a good example of someone that has a very good excuse, but have found a way to seek the Lord and say, this is what I have faith for. So what are you doing, Linky?
So at first I felt if God can keep me while I'm on chemo, he can definitely keep me without food for 3 days. But then, I checked with my oncologist, and she advised me that because it's only been 7 days after the treatment, so tomorrow my body will actually start rebuilding the healthy cells that was damaged throughout the last treatment. And if I had to do only a full fast, then my body can't rebuild, which would mean in 2 weeks' time I can't get treatment. So then she advised me that I can actually do a liquid fast. So it'll be a water fast and an Ensure supplement. The Ensure supplement has got everything needed that my body can rebuild. So in time for 2 weeks' time. And then if I really feel the need, I can do some vegetable juicing. So it's at least still liquid. And I think the why a person wants to do it is throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to pray and fast, irrelevant of our circumstances. And it's a really special time to seek the Lord, to surrender, to just empty yourself and focus on Him. And then doing it together as a body, it brings us into unity, one heart for God's purposes.
Thank you. You're a great example. I think there's a scripture that says, count it all joy. I think it's in James, when you face various trials. And I think you and your family have been a wonderful example of that. You have counted it all joy, amidst deep trials. Smiling, worshiping, and even giving yourself in a time of that. So we want to commend you, you and your family, just for exampling that, counting it all joy when you face various trials. Whew. Skulk, so obviously now we've discussed that it's possible for us, some might seriously need to look at adjusting just the way they approach it. But if we do a fast, how important is hydration during this time? And what can we do if we do feel, weak and feel like, hey, it's day two and I'm feeling a bit dizzy and weak? What are some advice that you can give? And how important is hydration during this time?
Hydration is really important. Everyone that knows me, especially maybe my wife Petra and I think David that I spend a lot of time with, will know that I don't drink water. It's a really weird thing for a doctor to say. So for me to have, this is the first time ever I've taken water to a venue in my life, I think. I only take water when I'm on a hike or something more endurance-wise. So I just can live without taking a lot of water, but it is absolutely essential that you take water. I think the general recommendation for someone in a temperature like we have now, it's not going to be 30 or 40 degrees, would be a minimum of 2.5 liters per day of water. You need the water to metabolize that whole process to break down the energy. If there's no water in that cycle, you cannot get the energy to actually be sustained. So the water is important, and it's like living water. So I think it's almost just popped into my brain now. And like Jesus is the living water, that is what we need. You can add a little bit of pinch of salt, if you feel like it, because the electrolytes can be a little bit of an issue. So sodium and chloride are the things that you can actually add a little bit to. That would really help. But the hydration is important. And divide it up. Start early. Don't wait till you're thirsty. In this case, you would definitely have water next to you. And when you wake up in the morning, take it early on. Maybe divide it in like four or five 700 mils or 500 mils through the day. So start really nice and early. And I think the other important thing is it should actually be room temperature. We used to colder water because we live in a hot climate, but it's better to actually have, you know, room temperature water.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Jay, if I can maybe pass on to you. You are not going to take leave over the next few days. You've got to work. You've got to be at the office. And I think many people in the congregation are also going to have a similar reality where they've got to be in the office. I understand that you're going to fast the 3 days. You're going to go for it. So how are you going to approach it working full-time and also not being able to join the prayer times in the afternoon? How are you going to do it at work? How are you going to approach prayer during the time? Because ideally, we're not having our meal, and we don't want to watch TV while we're not having our meal to fill that time. We actually want to use that time to pray. Because I realize many times we say, I'm too busy to get to the Lord. I'm too busy to pray. And this 3 days, there's no excuse, really, because there will be pockets where we won't have to do anything than pray. So what are you going to do over the next 3 days?
Thanks, Kevin. Great question. So this is a bit of background. I mean, fasting is tough. I've done it intermittently over the years. I remember a few years ago going to Oxygen Life Church on a 3-day fast, water fast, and I get invited to a restaurant, and everybody's having steak and chips and burgers, and it was really tough. But so it does become challenging. But like I was really seeking the Lord into, you know, the corporate fast, and one thing that I felt Him speak to me about was, it's this really big word in English. It's called consecrate, which means that you set time apart, or you set apart yourself to seek the Lord, not just part of you, but all of you. So I really felt that, and we journeyed this as a come the other night, and you could see some people were like, "Ooh, it was going to be a challenge." But I'm glad we covered a lot of the medical stuff now. But essentially, what I would do is, obviously, you know, pray in the Spirit, which is really how pray in the Spirit, hear the Lord's voice throughout the day. But, you know, the idea is during lunchtime is to actually break away for a bit. So I work quite close to home, so I'm able to do that. But if you're not able to do that, you know, I suggest, you know, find a tree, find your car, or somewhere you can break away that you can actually just spend some quiet time with the Lord. But in doing that as well, I also encourage you, put your phones away or put it on silence. Because, you know, I mean, I work in a very, very busy environment in logistics, but we also got a family business as well, and we run a community, so days can get really hectic. So, yeah, I'd encourage you to switch your phone on silent. Maybe take your Bible with you physically and a notebook, and just be in faith. Be prepared for the Lord to speak to you. Make those notes, you know. Yeah, and one other practical thing as well is, I mean, Jesus speaks about it as well. You know, there's a thing about fasting in secret, you know, where we don't need to let everybody know that we're fasting, you know. So this will encourage you with that, you know, fast in secret, you know, and yeah, and like even, you know, in the evenings when you can join here or in someone's home or wherever you're joining, is to, yeah, really seek the Lord in that. Seek the Lord in that space. And it's going to be tough, but trust the Lord for sustenance through it. And, I mean, I've done this over the years, and I can see, you know, how the Lord has come through miraculously, you know. And, I mean, Kevin touched on it earlier on where, you know, Paul and Barnabas were, with the Holy Spirit, you know, set them aside, set them apart, you know, for the work of the ministry. And it was amazing, and it came from a time of prayer and fasting. So I'm looking forward to it, excited about it, but I know it's going to be challenging. But yeah, the Lord is with us, guys. The Lord is with us. Yeah, I just want to encourage you there.
Very good. Thanks for sharing. And Joe, I've loved the way that you've just given yourself to prayer, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's one thing that I look at you. You're a praying man, and you, yeah, prayer meetings, you're there contributing. So yeah, really do appreciate the way that you seek the Lord.
Yeah, thank you. Just one more comment, if I may. So I suppose during this fast, your fridge is not my fridge. Just want to say that.
Good point. Skulk, last question, if we wrap this up. So if we did a full fast, So we went flat out. We did a full fast. What should we not eat 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening? Can we have the steak?
Yeah, someone at the leadership meeting had a nice, had a nice testimony about he is really someone that loves to braai, but I don't think we should braai on Wednesday evening. Even if you did a Daniel fast and you just had vegetables, yeah, it's not good for your stomach. So it's better to just introduce soft foods and fluids. Anyone that's had a special investigation in the hospital where they had to not eat stuff and drink funny weird things to empty their bowel, they would have remembered that it's difficult to introduce food again after that. And that's the same principle. So fluids is definitely, but, you know, soup, not meat for the first day, no.
So if you do want to braai, falafel patties would be the, would be the way to go. Soft fillet, soft foods. There we go. Thanks, everyone. I really do appreciate your contributions. I hope it's been helpful. Thank you. Well, you're going back to find your seats. Hubert, don't you quickly want to come forward and just share testimony? Hubert, some time ago, he shared briefly how they started fasting, him and his wife, out of a place of need, really. And they were trusting God for physical breakthrough, but what happened wasn't necessarily just practical breakthroughs. There was something that happened on the inside. And I thought it'd be great just to once again hear what God did in their hearts and in his life over a time of fasting.
Should I take a bit of a minute and just do a backstory maybe? I don't know. Maybe everyone wasn't here. But the short is, it's a testimony of finding unity in a specific area in our marriage. And like I said last time, we've got a good marriage and we're good for each other. But in this one area, we had an incredible frustration that we couldn't break for years. And we we got to a point of such a desperation and got to a realization in that place that this can only be broken in spirit, and it can only be broken by God. It can't be. We spent a decade trying to wrestle this thing and got nowhere really. And so we fasted, and like I said last time, again God broke it. We didn't break anything. God broke it in that fast, and you walk, you take that freedom with you as you go. But much more than that, it's like there's a little bit of a flame that was about to die that got relit. And there's a thing in my heart since that time that at times I can't contain it. It's people must know, I must tell people about Jesus. And so it's incredible when God touches your heart in a radical way, because you can come here, you can lead community and not fully be surrendered to him. I find now when you behold him and you humble yourself before him and he becomes the focus, it completely takes over your life. When I woke up in the night and all I can think of, I must build his church. So it's incredible. It's incredible how radically God can touch your heart.
And the most amazing thing, if I think of Hubert sharing, God, sometimes you go in not knowing what God is going to do, and you come out different, changed. I remember when you shared that, there was something different, there was a different anointing, different presence as you shared, because God really did something. And so over the next few days, that's what we want to do. We want to seek him and put that time aside, empty ourselves and allow our lives to be filled with him. And the fasting might still feel like a daunting thing, but there's a scripture here in Isaiah that I thought God spoke to his people about a fast. And he said, listen, you're fasting, but you're actually fasting with the wrong motive. You're still working your slaves. You're still not looking after the poor. So you're doing the spiritual act, but your heart's actually quite far from me, and it's not representing me. And he challenged the nation, and then he encouraged them with this on the back of the rebuke. He said, I, the Lord God, I will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. And you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And there's a promise for us in this fast. He will sustain us. He would satisfy our needs. He will strengthen our frame. Isn't that beautiful? And then he will be like a well-watered, we will become like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And just a sense that we need water in this fast, God will become that very water that will flow from us. And then it goes on, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up an old age foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets of the dwellings. And there's a sense that God's going to raise up to be those that will go into the streets and bring restoration and bring reconciliation. And so may God do this in us. And if you're feeling still heavy-hearted, I trust that you would feel encouraged this morning, that God will do something amazing in us. This is not a time just to empty ourselves, but it's actually a time to fill ourselves. And I'm not sure if you've ever did a little exercise like this, or maybe you've done it recently with your children, where you get a bean seed, a boinky sod, and you put it in cotton wool, and you water that seed. And I'm still, even when I was a child and as an adult, it's the most exhilarating thing to watch that little cotton wool. Because somewhere this green leaf, this little green stem is going to pop out. And it's the most incredible feeling if you do see it's out, you know? And then watching that thing grow, it's amazing. But there's this excitement looking at that thing, the life that will come. That's exciting. There's life coming. But that seed had to die. It had to break. And then Jesus speaks in the Gospels. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, there will be no life. There will be no growth. And that seed had to die. But what excited me wasn't the death. It was the life that was going to come. And with a fast, let's not get so worn down by what we're missing out on. Let's get excited about what's to come. There's a promise of life. And even if you revisited here this morning, I know our message was about a fast, and you're wondering, what is this going to do with me? I don't want to come to a church to hear that you shouldn't eat. It's a Sunday afternoon. But the message today is that Jesus said, I've come to give life and life abundantly. And even when we fast or we go through this life, there's a promise that He will give us life and He will sustain us. And if you're a visitor here, or you may be new to this congregation and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you this. There is a promise of life for you. But like the seed, there's got to be a moment of death. There's got to be a moment where you surrender your life and say, I want to come to an end of myself. I want to come an end to my life. You know, God is a creator. He's created us. He made us. And there's got to be a point where you say, I'm going to put my trust in the one that made me. I didn't make myself. And I'm going to come to an end of myself to receive His life. Paul writes that one day, we were part of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And it says here that without Jesus, we were serving another kingdom. We were under the rule of another king. We controlled our own lives, but it actually just leads to death. But then there's this promise. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He saved us. And so there's a promise. If we come to an end of ourselves, like that seed, if we die, His life becomes a reality in us.